Hey, Irfan, did you see this? This is something we could talk about. This, the Adobe's not selling software on the Mac anymore.
Have you read the notes? just take a look at them. Do me a solid.
Make me read the notes.
Just for 10 seconds. Hello, and welcome to the CallCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. I'm joined by Leander Caney finishing off his dinner plate. You can hear his fork clink in the background. Get that giant turkey leg out of your mouth.
Yeah. Hold on, here goes the last mouthful.
And we've got Alex Excelsior Heath, fresh off the mothership.
Hello, good job.
Bad Apple. Buster Heine is here as well. Hey, Buster.
Hey, man.
And boy, what an exhilarating Apple news week it has been.
Tell me about it.
We can't wait to go over all the great Apple news that has come out this week.
I'm about to explode.
But don't do that just yet, Alex. Save the explosion, because before we hop into the show, I just want to thank DigiDNA.net for supporting the show yet again. Hey, you guys know that they are the makers of Disc Aid 6. That's right, Disc Aid. They've been sponsoring us for a year now, just over a year. Can you believe it?
This show's been going on for a year.
Can you believe that? This show is still being produced after a year. And it only just keeps getting better with time. But I want you guys to check out Disc Aid 6. I've been talking about it forever. But if you don't know what it is, it's the best way to transfer videos, documents, and other information on and off your iDevices with ease. It's a Mac application, I should say. And you can download your voicemails, your call logs, your photos, videos, anything else right to your computer, all via Wi-Fi, all without long iTunes syncing with the new and improved Disc Aid. That's right. I said Disc Aid 6. Head over to digidna.net. Dang it. And download Disc Aid 6 for free. You know, a lot of its basic features are totally free to use.
You said Disc Aid 6 again.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, you totally did.
No.
I heard it.
No, I said Disc Aid 6.
Dick Aid 6.
No, definitely did not say that. Hey, thank you, DigiDNA, for sponsoring the show. We love those guys. Great guys who actually listen to the show. And want to mention real quick also, if you guys were listening last week, you know this is the show where we're giving away two of the very sold out ICEO Steve Jobs inspired dolls. Did you guys hop on to our Facebook page, facebook.com/ The Cultcast, and check out the pic I posted?
Alex? Irfan, I wanted to talk about this last week when I heard you guys talking about this, because you know the story of this, right? How I met your friend with
this is actually pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yes,
why don't you tell us?
I was at Cupertino at Apple headquarters, you know, just kind of peeking around, you know, looking for...
You were there for like Jailbreak Con or something, right?
Yeah, I was looking for the cook, you know, out there doing his morning jog or something.
Yeah, right. He's doing jumping jacks.
And so I was looking around, you know, poking around campus, and I'm at the main entrance because that's actually the only place I could go. And
before he got cattle prodded.
And I'm in front of the sign, right? The main sign. And there's this guy there, and he's got this Steve Jobs doll. And he's like setting it on the sign. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird, but okay. And it's this little plush, you know, this little plush doll. And I'm like, this guy.
And it looks exactly like Steve Jobs, right?
Yeah. I'm like, this guy kind of maybe has a fetish. I don't know. So I just kind of let him do his
thing.
Well,
you're right about that.
And he was taking pictures, and then I thought I remembered seeing him somewhere, and then I saw it on Instagram later because I was looking at hashtags from Apple's
campus
for the
day.
And then I saw his profile and saw that he was the co-host of User Friendly, which is the other podcast you do with him.
Right,
and
exactly.
So apparently, and so he runs the company that made the doll, and he's, you know, friends with you. And I just randomly ran into him.
Such
and,
a mind trip, because he was talking about somebody that day.
Yeah.
And then he got really excited and started texting me, and I was like, what is all this nonsense? Right? Like, the stream
so I have
of stuff
a picture. I literally have a picture of me with his ICEO doll standing in front of Apple.
That's crazy. Out of all the people in San Francisco that you guys would have met, and you didn't even know that you were meeting each other.
I know. It's so random.
Alex is talking about my my good pal Throw Boy Roberto Hoyos, and he makes these, or should say made these, fantastic ICEO dolls, which are totally sold out. So here's the deal. We'll be giving away two of those guys after the break. Got to make sure you guys stick around for at least 10 minutes on this show. And it's the only way we can get you guys to stay tuned for more than 2 minutes. And I get it. I get it. I've listened to the show. But if you'd like to get your hands on one, if you don't win today, you can actually support Throw Boy's Kickstarter. And at the $100 support level, you can actually get a ICEO for yourself. There's only 200 left. And then after that, they'll be gone forever. Did that echo sound add dramatic effect?
It wasn't bad. Amazing.
That was it. Oh. You guys have actually never been so nice to me on the show before. It's fantastic. Hey, let's talk about the big deal this week. The Adobe wants to rent you your apps and goes all in on the Creative Cloud. This was actually really surprising to me. Some people saw this coming. I did not. Adobe is going to stop selling people software. So if you use Photoshop, if you use Illustrator, if you use InDesign, if you use any of Adobe's Creative Suite applications besides Lightroom, thank God, you're no longer going to be able to buy them. They're going to only rent them to you. And they have officially stopped doing feature updates on CS6. They are only going to be adding new features if you pay, I guess the fee is $50 a month for access to the entire suite.
And, oh, wow.
And that's the only way you're going to be able to access new versions of Photoshop, new versions of Illustrator, get any of their new features. Do you guys have an opinion on this? I use Photoshop all the time, so I definitely do.
I was holding out for this new version of Photoshop, and then I saw the announcement, and I was like, eh, screw it.
So did you start paying for it now?
No, I said screw it.
Oh, you're just not going to use it at all?
What are you going to use?
Pixelmator. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I really don't need anything else. I don't need anything like super, you know, super intensive. You know, Pixelmator does everything I need, and actually other apps do everything I need. Pixelmator is actually overkill. So
Pixelmator. They've been talking about this forever, haven't they? I mean, like, Microsoft's been trying to get into this for a long time too. I mean, they'd love to get that that regular income, that monthly income. Everybody smooths out their revenues.
Yeah, exactly. Adobe definitely wants to get into reoccurring payments. You know, as a casual user of a lot of these applications, it's kind of a bummer because, let's say you only need to use Photoshop, you know, twice a month, three times a month, whatever. Are you going to pay them? It's $20 a month to use just one app.
That's ridiculous.
That's a lot of money. And
I can't imagine that they will keep a lot of the kind of like, you know, more consumer-y customers that they've had that just kind of, yeah, you know, maybe.
Yeah, they're not, that's what they're, I mean, they're not interested though, are they, in that? Obviously, it's like they're going after business customers.
I guess, but there's only so many of those, you know? That's a very limited market.
Yeah. Well, they said that the subscription model has really been successful. So they've been testing this out for a while. You've been able to, you know, subscribe to the Creative Cloud for, I think, like 6 months now. And they said it's been incredibly popular and a lot of people are doing it because it makes the price of entry, you know, so much lower than having to pay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the master Creative Suite, which is what you're essentially getting for $50 a month, is $2,400. That's a lot of money. But of course, you know, this whole move that we're making towards the digitalization of, you know, video games and software, it just makes me a little nervous because you never own anything, right? I mean, at least if you bought the software, you could sell it 2 years later and recoup some of your money and upgrade to the new version. Not to mention, when you upgrade, you normally, you know, the cost is significantly lower when you upgrade as opposed to buying it for the first time, right?
Are you allowed to sell it like that?
What do you mean?
Like, if you still have it installed, are you allowed to, like, sell software?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as far as I know, you have to deactivate it on your computer.
Oh, okay.
And then you can actually sell it on, like, eBay or something. All right. I haven't done it in a while, so don't quote me on that. But, yeah, I'm fairly certain you can still do it. I mean, that's kind of one of the big deals about buying the software is that, you know, you own that license and you can resell it. Leander, what were you going to say?
Well, you know, this is like the never-ending sort of another move towards cloud computing, isn't it? Where you're sort of renting.
Devil dog.
Devil dog's gone crazy.
Devil dog's back.
Oh, no, hold on.
Run, Leander, run! I mean, for for apps, it's not a big deal, right? You pay $2, right. And you, who cares if you lose the $2? But you know, for apps, I mean, this is going to be something that we all deal with in another 10, 15 years, 20 years, once these people who are buying apps start dying, right?
Adobe takes care of updating the software, and you know, you never have to download a new version. You're just a Photoshop subscriber, right? And who cares if you've got Photoshop 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever version it is, because they're going to be constantly updating it. And it's like, you know, you don't, the whole idea of downloading a big fat software application and owning it doesn't, you know, I think the world's definitely changing, isn't it? It's like music. There's no point in owning music anymore. You just pay $10 a month to Spotify.
Right.
Yeah. I've been using Pandora actually recently a lot, and it's freaking amazing. Sorry, go ahead. Fuss
a couple days ago, wasn't there? They were saying, oh, look, you can, you know, there's some security hole in Spotify, the new web version. And you can use some Chrome extension to download
the MP3 songs.
I heard about that.
Yeah, I'm so mad I didn't snag that extension.
Right, I was like, oh, I never heard about that.
I'm thinking, like, what is this? The early 2000s? I mean, pirating music?
What?
Leander, you don't think music piracy still exists?
Oh, I'm not going to say I do, but I
mean, Alex can testify firsthand that it existed
vibrant
only market. 2 hours ago at his IP address.
Yeah.
No, I'm a Spotify subscriber. Honestly, since Spotify, I can't think of anything, especially music, definitely, that I pirated.
I haven't pirated albums in a long time, just because it's all on. I use Ardio, and everything's on there anyway. So
yeah, I still like to pirate booty, but that's...
yar.
There you go. See, I rest my case. Yeah, like I don't know. I thought it was all really outdated, and I think maybe like buying software is too.
Maybe.
You know, we definitely are moving towards that direction, and I love the music streaming services. I don't know how I feel about the Adobe thing. I really don't. It's definitely going to make pirating it probably less of a problem for them, even though they said that's not a big motivation for them, which I'm like, yeah, right.
Well, they'll just get people sharing the logins, right? Like Netflix does, you know, how you log in.
I wonder how they're going to prevent that.
Yeah.
Well, Netflix can prevent that. They block you at 2 concurrent users.
Well, so right. And they're actually adding a family stream coming up soon.
Do you know how much that's going to cost?
It's not going to cost that much more. I think it's like $14.
Yeah, didn't sound that bad.
Yeah.
And oh, so really? That's not bad at all.
Yeah, you'll have more than one simultaneous stream.
Didn't some estimate come out last week about how many people were cheating Netflix, and it was in the millions, wasn't it?
Really?
How do you cheat Netflix?
You just give more people your password.
Oh, that's but see, how is that really cheating? Because I mean, as long as you're not streaming things from them at the same time, then
I thought they used to have a thing that used to prevent you from streaming two things at once.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
they do. But you know, you just someone uses it when the main account holder isn't using it.
Yeah, yeah. Which is not. I mean, that's not really hurting them, is it? Because that could still from their end, that could be the same person using it on a bunch of different computers.
But it's like, you know, they're losing all those casual customers, right? You know,
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Alex, do you know or have you heard how many concurrent users they're going to allow? It's got to be at least 4.
Yeah, I think it is 4.
Okay, that's a really good deal.
It's between 2 and 4. I know that.
I mean, if you have kids, I mean, that'd be fantastic to be able to stream multiple devices at once, especially when you're traveling, if you have like a family share plan.
Yeah. It's only going to be $12. It's a $12 family plan, unlimited streaming with 4 simultaneous streams.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so you guys don't think the software streaming is a big deal. I don't know. We'll see how this affects us all. And I'm not really looking forward to paying $50 a month just to use those applications as little as I do. You know, maybe I'll have to switch to Pixelmator, but does Pixelmator do vector stuff, Alex?
Yeah, and they have a sweet update coming out tomorrow, actually.
Oh, really?
They keep updating.
Do tell.
Great stuff.
Do tell. What's the sweet update?
Comes the word.
Oh, okay. You can't tell us about it.
Good job, Alex. Yeah.
This will be published when it comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to hear this when it's out.
That's
so
true. That's
actually,
right,
you're about to tell them old news.
Might as well spill the beans.
Spill it, Alex.
It's really nothing. I hyped it up.
Boy,
it's, It's basically just like more vector stuff. Like they're really focusing on vector stuff, which is nice.
Breaking. Man. Wow.
That's a sweet.
They're adding more vector stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you kept that under wraps, dude.
Yeah. I just wanted to, you know.
Feel cool.
Yeah, basically.
Hey, speaking of feeling cool, you know who I bet doesn't feel cool at this moment? Bill Gates. Ouch.
You know what? With $60 billion, he can feel as cool as he wants.
Actually, yeah. He's better than I am.
He can have money fan him.
You know how many like partially half-dressed men he could have fanning him with grape leaves if he wanted to?
Oh, well, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would not do if I had a lot of money. So Bill Gates made a comment recently. He opened up his mouth and he stuck his giant foot in it. I cannot believe he said this. And we have to at least chat a little bit about it. So he was talking about the Microsoft Surface, which, as everyone knows, is selling so incredibly well, it's about to put the iPad out of business. Oh, wait, no, that's what Bill Gates thinks. So they were talking about Surface, and he said, speaking about the iPad, a lot of users are frustrated. They can't type, they can't create documents, and they don't have Office there. And he's talking about why the Surface is better than the iPad. But the crazy part is I mean, I kind of wonder what he's thinking, because the Surface literally has 0% market share. Like, literally has 0% market share. Like, nobody uses a Surface.
I saw that. No, I saw that in John's post.
Fact.
That can't be a fact, because they have had to have sold more.
They have to have like 0.01% or something.
Right, yeah.
At that point, you could round it down, right?
Right, exactly. I think that's 0%.
I mean, how much closer to actually literally none does it have to be for you to call it 0% of market share?
I know one person. One of my friends has one.
Your friend has one?
I have one friend who's actually not really a close friend. He's kind of a distant friend.
Well, that's probably a good call.
And he has one. And I was amazed when I saw it. And he loves it.
He does love it.
He's a Microsoft guy, though. I mean, he's all into it. So,
you know, I've played with the Surface, and it's not bad. I mean, it's definitely not bad. It's a good product, but the iPad is an amazing product. I mean, there's no comparison.
Such a fanboy.
No, I am a fanboy. But you know the reason I'm a fanboy? I always have this argument. People be like, "Oh, you're a fanboy." It's because Apple makes great products. Yeah, that's why I love their products so much. I mean, a lot of people may not know this. I used to build PCs. I was hardcore PC. And at some point after my college career, I got a job because I was programming in .NET. This is the Microsoft technology, right? I was fully immersed. I grew up in Redmond, Washington, where Microsoft is based. And I always thought that Apple fans were just idiots, honestly speaking. I was like, these people don't know what they want. They're just falling for the marketing hype. You know, and the reason they don't understand this is because they don't understand how computers work. And they're just using an inferior product and overpaying for it. Honestly, my opinion. I had to use a, I think it was a PowerBook for work after college. And I was like super bummed. I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to use this machine. And after about a month, I was totally fully converted. I was like, this machine's amazing. In fact, Leander, I think I might have even sent you a blog post that I wrote on my own personal blog when that was cool to do. as an application for writing for Cult of Mac, which you quickly told me you hated,
unfortunately,
and appropriately so. But at that point on, I was like, these things are amazing, and I've been an iFanboy ever since. But I don't just love Mac blindly. I don't just love Apple blindly. Like, I love it for good reasons.
Yeah, when Apple stops making good products, I won't like Apple anymore. I mean, it's not like I have this like blind affiliation with Apple. It's just that Apple's making the best stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly what all you fanboys say.
I tell you what, though, I had a really good time talking to the Microsoft people at the Surface like store that they had in downtown Chicago a few months ago, because they had this whole like shrine set up to the Surface, and there was like two people in there. And I went in there and I was looking at it, and I was pretending that I was someone who had no idea what tablets were. Like, I was looking at my first one, and I was like, so what about the iPad? Like, how does this compare? Like, the iPad like can like do video and stuff. Can this do video? And I kept, you know, just dumb questions like that. And at one point I got one of the refs to be like, look, honestly, I use an iPad, but, you know, the
really?
Surface. Is, yeah, literally one of them said that, and then they just went on their pitch. But so I feel like Microsoft is holding people against their will, honestly. Going to do a big post about it. On technique.
You know, honestly, I know it's not like empirical evidence, but all you need to do to realize that these things are not selling well is just go into any parking lot where an Apple store is, face it, look how many people are in there, and then just turn around, because Microsoft will have built a Microsoft store across the street, right? So there'll be a Microsoft store there, and just look at how many just like sad, lonely people. There's probably only going to be three. What the heck was that?
Whoa.
That like a bird.
Screaming at the dog. No.
What are you, Ace Ventura? How many animals do you have over there?
There's children and animals in here.
Oh, same. You can just say animals.
And WC Fields, never work with them.
Hey, actually, this is a great time to take a break. Let's take a quick break, guys. And I want to tell everyone about Disc Aid 6. That's right. I said Disc Aid. But when we get back, I'm going to talk about a... pretty cool app that I found recently. We're going to talk about Nintendo coming to the iPhone. And we're also going to talk about an iPhone 5S production rumor.
Really quick before we go to break, this is breaking.
My gosh,
Microsoft,
what?
Microsoft considering buying Nook from Barnes & Noble for $1 billion. So there goes the tablet business.
Oh, my gosh. Why is that big news? Why is anyone going to be excited about that?
I don't know. Just Microsoft's dumb enough to pay $1 billion for Nook.
For the Nook.
Dude, the Nook's better than the Surface, though, man.
I see a commercial with a Limp Bizkit song in their future. let's go to break with that. We'll be right back. Hey, guys. Irfan Elijah here, and it is my delightful pleasure to tell you about the all-new Disc Aid 6. That's right. I said Disc Aid 6. The iPad, iPhone, and iPod transfer tool for PC and Mac. Boy, this application is so much easier to use than iTunes and lets you do all sorts of things that you could never do with iTunes, such as let you use your iOS device as a storage device. You can download and upload photos from your iDevice, music, videos. You can download your message logs, your call logs. You can download and save voicemails to your computer. You can download voice memos and notes. It even lets you access stuff that you have stored in iCloud, like your photo stream photos. Booyah! That's the power of Disc Aid 6, now letting you do everything wirelessly. Plus, it's available in a ton of new languages. Here's what I think you guys should do. Head over to digitna.net, download Disc Aid 6, try it out. A lot of its basic features are free to use. And if you like it, you can unlock some of its advanced features. Just use the code THECULTCAST at checkout. You're going to save 30% off your order. You're going to get some great software that's way faster and easier to use than iTunes and way more powerful too. That's the power of Disc Aid 6. Stop using iTunes. Head over to digitdna.net and secure your copy of Disc Aid 6 right this moment. Do it. And we're back. I gotta try that again. And we're back. Welcome back to the Cultcast, everybody. All right, gentlemen, it's that time. We're gonna give away two of the iCEO Steve Jobs dolls. I just want to say, before we give these away, it was really hard choosing a winner. We asked people to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast, and tell us how they would dress up their little buddy, the iCEO, or places they would take him. You guys had some really funny answers. Some were a little weird. I'll just say that. Some were a little weird. But for the most part, they were hilarious. So it was really hard choosing a winner. But we did boil it down to two. And I want to start with the runner-ups. So the runner-ups did not win, but they almost won because their comments made us laugh or cry or...
Both.
Cry, laugh. Is that a thing? Laugh, cry. The first runner-up, Travis Len Wallace. I would drop acid with him and run around a field Ashton Kutcher style, just like Steve Jobs didn't really do. We don't know that for sure. And Wozniak would totally call us out on it. He'd also come visit Uncle Airfron frequently. I hope Travis is being genuine about that and knows where I live. Michael Klopping says, I would put overalls on him and a red and yellow t-shirt and get an adult-sized big wheel and put ICEO on my shoulders and then play the commercial jingle, my buddy, my buddy. My buddy and
me. You read that without laughing. Good job.
Thank you. It was actually not easy to do. So I actually remember that commercial, and sometimes I sing that song. So that one made me laugh a little bit. That's a runner-up, Michael Klopping. Okay, the two winners. Lucky winner number one, Eric Spielberg. I walk my cat on a harness, and I would get a Steve Jobs sword. I would get Steve a sword and let him ride on the cat. Herman style? He-Man style to battle Android users in my hood. Congratulations, Eric. You're going to win an ICEO. And the second winner, a very heartfelt comment from Donnie Goines. And he talked about giving. He actually wrote like eight paragraphs. I can't read the whole thing. We only have so much show left, and Leander wants to spend at least 30 minutes talking about Sonos, so we gotta rush it here. But Donnie said that he's going to give the doll to his daughter, and he's a longtime listener. He's been listening since episode one. He really tugged all the right heartstrings, and I hope that he really has a daughter, and I hope that he has really been listening since episode one and didn't just play us like fools. Donnie, you better be serious, my friend. So congratulations, Eric and Donnie. You guys are both winning ICEO dolls, and we'll get a hold of you guys on Facebook. Let's go on with the show, shall we? I want to tell you guys about an app that I found recently that I thought was pretty awesome. We don't need to talk a lot about it, but did you see my recent Instagram, Alex or Buster?
Mm-hmm.
Where I had a questionable herb cigarette hanging from my mouth.
You look like the artist formerly known as Snoop Dogg.
Did I? That's amazing, because I used an app called Snoopify. Have you guys used the app?
Yeah.
No, I've never even heard of it.
Snoopify is pretty cool, but I'm actually looking more forward to Way of the Dog.
Way of the Dog? Is that D-O-double-G?
Yeah.
What's that going to be?
That's Snoop Dogg's new fighting game that's coming out.
Shouldn't it be Way of the Lion?
No, it's Snoop. He knows how to market himself. Okay. He hasn't lost that.
So he's going by Snoop Lion, but he's still using Snoop Dogg as his.
It's basically Mortal Kombat, except you have to tap the screen to match his reggae beats.
Okay. How much is it? I hope it's free.
I don't know. It's like Grand Theft Auto meets Mortal Kombat with reggae.
Well, Snoopify is also free, and basically what it does is you take a picture of yourself, then it lets you add all these like Snoop Dogg accessories. Like there's a bottle of purple stuff,
purple drink.
There's some different hats. There's some questionable cigarettes that don't really look like cigarettes. I'm not sure what they are, but they are they're in there. And the thing it's really easy to use, and you add all this stuff on top of your body, and then you can like export it to like Instagram and stuff. But the thing I don't like about it is essentially those little things that you can paste on yourself are stickers, and they only give you one sheet, and then all the other ones are like $1 or $2 or $3 to buy. So you can't really get much use out of it before you actually have to start spending money. But go check it out, and you can use it on Instagram, and all your friends will think you're cool. Buster, you should definitely do one with the hairnet.
You think so?
Oh, what, dude, with your hairstyle? Ah. Yeah. Although you should flip the hairnet upside down so it's on your beard.
Okay.
That's a straight up G look right there. Instagram that. That's going to be your highest Instagram picture ever.
All right.
Especially since you accidentally threw your Nikon camera into the river.
Did you really?
Were you not here when we talked about that?
No
you
one was here that? When we talked about that. We didn't talk about it on the show. Dude, do you want to tell the story real fast?
You threw your new DSLR into the river?
Dude, yes, it's a traumatic experience. You shouldn't call them names.
Yeah, come on, man. That hurts.
Buster, tell us the story real quick. What happened?
Oh, I was taking pictures at some waterfalls.
Yeah.
I was hiking. Like, I was taking pictures with my tripod, like, in the river, and then...
With your brand new camera and brand new lens.
Yeah, and then I was on like this ledge, like it was like a safe spot, and I look away for a second.
And he got headbutted by a goat with huge horns.
Yeah, it was a monstrous goat.
And then what happened?
And then my camera fell off the cliff, banged off the side of the cliff, then fell into the water like 15 feet below. And I just, I was powerless. I
told you not to buy Nikon.
So it's been soaking in rice for like a week, and I'm about to send it to Nikon to see if they can.
It's been soaking in rice. You really have been soaking it in rice like a drop cell phone.
Oh yeah,
that's fantastic.
Should work.
That's what a repair shop told me to do.
It should work. It's like a $2,000 camera, and the lens is just as expensive. Yeah, soak in some rice.
Did it bounce off the? It bounced off a rock too.
Oh yeah, so that's like what did a lot of damage too. Was it's just like one side is just like kind of like contorted out of it. It's bad, man.
Oh man, you know like when?
How long did you have it? Like a week?
Oh, I had it like I don't know. I actually might have had it like 2 months, but still.
And you were taking some great pictures, and they were getting posted on Instagram too.
Yeah,
you were really using it a lot.
I was. Bummed me out, man.
When you told me that story, it's kind of like when you see a guy in a movie get his nards kicked really hard, you know? And you're like, ooh. Ooh.
Or if he gets butt probed.
Yeah. And hey, when you're are like, we ah. Well, that's what Alex does.
Yeah. When are we going to see Alex's alien movie?
So yes, we're not 5S just production rumors.
Hey, you're the one that took it there, dude. You're the one that took it there. Alex is in a movie where he gets butt probed. That's why I bring it up. Do you want to tell us about it, Alex?
No, I don't.
Come on, Alex.
Let's move on with
it's
the
one
show.
Of those. It's one of those. I'm making air quotes with my fingers. Indie movies.
We still got topics to cover.
Yeah, let's cover some topics. All right. Well, let's talk about some 5S rumors. Apparently, rumor has it, Japanese site Nikan.co.jp says that
like
Sharp
icon
that Sharp is beginning to produce the LCD panels, or at least it will in June, and Apple's starting to produce the 5S, which of course would give us kind of like a expectation of having it sometime in September, which bums me out a little bit, I'll be honest.
Okay.
I think all the rumors said August or September, so it doesn't really surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me either. I mentioned this last show. The thing that bums me out is if I feel like Apple is just all of a sudden like doing a huge conglomerate of updates all in one, like, you know, or 2 month period every year instead of spreading them out. Do you actually, Alex, since you weren't here last show, do you think that's the way they're going?
I don't know. I don't know if last year is like something they're going to do every year, but I mean, I don't know. That doesn't seem, I don't know. That doesn't seem like the best thing for them, does it? Because it just kind of everything, you're dry for so long and then you just overwhelm everyone. But they could easily overwhelm the news cycle if they just like staggered everything out for 3 months, you know, apart like they have been. So I don't know. I hope they don't do that every year.
It just makes it a lot less exciting. You know what I mean? It's like
I don't know if it makes it less exciting, but it definitely makes you wait longer. No one likes to wait longer.
But also, I feel like the news, a lot of news agencies get sour on Apple when they're not doing something new and amazing all the time.
Okay, well, news agencies love to play the "we built this up, now we tear it down" thing. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
that's
just
true.
That's not going to change. Apple's just the culprit right now, the victim actually right now.
Yeah, and they only ever talk about the fact that Apple's doing poorly. Like, you never actually hear.
No one talks about when Apple stock like rebounds or
anything.
Yeah, like
that's exactly what I was going to bring out. So all we've been hearing for the last 3 months is how Apple stock is crashing, and it's gone up like what, 24% in the last 30 days.
No, it's within the last 2 weeks, man. Not
2 weeks.
Days.
Oh, sorry.
That's why when people, I saw some other people, Apple bloggers, complaining that the media hasn't covered it, but it's not really a recovery yet. And you know, when it was going down for over 6 months.
Yeah, and it's way, way down, isn't it? So I mean, it's been an uptick, which is always what always happens. I mean, but people, the stock's, you know, isn't really a good way to measure the actual performance of the company. I mean,
right.
It's a speculative market, and people always, the stock always goes up on the rumors and it goes down on the news. It's going to, I think, you know, don't you guys think it's going to climb back up again?
I'm sure.
Well, I feel like they'll do a stock split eventually, and then that'll drive it way up.
Well, you know, the stock has to going up has a lot to do with their plan to buy it back, right? So
yeah, they're buying back a ton of shares. Yeah, that's actually something I was talking to Buster about a while. I don't want to get on a rabbit hole with this, but yeah,
oh, like, yeah.
Buster not. Buster's like, oh, I remember. No, but just like, I wouldn't be surprised if Apple eventually tries to buy itself back, you know?
Go private?
Go private, yeah.
Private? Why would they do that?
Why would they do that?
Because, I mean, they're, as a company, they're, that's what they want. I mean, that's what, like, intrinsically what they are is private. I mean, they have to be.
That's actually a really good point. No.
They've been a public company for years.
But I'm saying as a corporate culture, they're better suited as a private company.
No, there's no difference really, I don't think.
The only thing they release to the public is what they have to because of the SEC. I mean, they don't, you know, if they had it their way, they wouldn't say anything. They wouldn't
Like, they're a secretive company, but that doesn't conflate that with, you know, that's not necessarily incompatible with being a publicly owned company.
I don't know. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that buying back all the stock and having $100 billion cash hoard is not an insurance policy against Wall Street.
How
in
can
case.
They afford it? What's their market cap? I mean,
that's what they would not be able to afford it in the state that they're in. With the, you know, their stock would have to be.
they'd have to be going down the tubes. And then it would make any sense. I mean,
well, their stock value would have to be going down the tubes. They could still have some money.
Yeah, right.
I wonder how much money do you think they'd have to buy all their stock back?
Oh, like, well, I mean, now it's complete. There's not a bank on earth that could finance anything of that measure right now. But I'm
probably
saying
be
if
they're like $1 zillion.
Yeah.
Like literally like a zillion. Like how many trillions is that?
But it's more than, it's worth, you know, I know what, 500, 600 billion, 700 billion. They were approaching. How much was it when the stock was $700? Wasn't it they were $700 billion or something like that? People were talking about them being the first $1 trillion.
Oh yeah. Their valuation is through the roof, and they would have to pay a premium on top of that. So it would be unreal. So, I mean, but I'm just saying, I just don't see how this $100 billion cash hoard isn't some type of insurance policy against, you know, kind of an FU to the analysts. Saying, you know, well, okay, we're just going to buy our shares back.
Does Apple want to like spend billions of dollars as an FU?
If it means that Apple, if it means that Apple can,
yeah, G-Mustang,
guys, we're going to spend $600 billion.
No, I mean it's just as a, you know, so they can get Wall Street off their back, basically, you know. And stop worrying about that kind of thing. Stop focusing on that.
It's about Wall Street, to be honest.
Yeah, oh. I mean, they haven't, but Tim Cook got more defensive than ever before on this last earnings call. I mean, it's just they're...
Jane! He's just getting way more impatient. Like, next time his voice is going to crack. He's just going to be irate with Gene Munster.
Yeah.
Hey, let's wrap up with this. For those of us who grew up in the 80s and 90s, this is interesting news. So, oh, goodness, Nintendo, the company that you really want to succeed. Yeah. But they've been struggling, and they recently announced that they're going to create an app that would let you stream your apps or your games to your Wii U. Am I saying that correctly, Alex?
I don't know how else you could say it, honestly.
And boy, this is just really a kind of a head scratcher. Alex, are there any details that I'm missing?
Not really. I mean, that's what they're doing, but I mean, it's so ironic because they're trying to do the right thing, but they're doing it in a totally wrong way. Like, what they should be doing is taking their games and porting them to mobile, not having mobile developers try to port their games to the console.
Yeah, this makes absolutely it's kind of bizarre.
It is bizarre. I mean, it's like a cultural thing for Nintendo. I mean, they just have always only sold their games on their hardware. They're very Apple-like in that sense. They really tie themselves to their hardware.
Right. How about
and
company?
In my post, I said this. I said this would be kind of similar to if Apple licensed OS X to other PC manufacturers. I mean, it would almost be that level of, you know, there's no way that would ever happen. Because just as a company, Nintendo has a lot of pride in its tradition. And I think until, like, there's a huge executive, you know, shake up, there's no way they would ever consider that, because they don't want to be seen as, you know, we're going to put our stuff alongside, you know, $1 Angry Birds, you know, apps in the App Store. You know, we're worth more than that. And, you know, they probably are, but they're not act, you know, they're being dumb about it. And it would just be really sad to see them fade away because they don't know how to adapt.
I am a little worried about Nintendo, honestly. Because they haven't been doing that great, and for the first time ever, they had a operating loss. I think the quarter before last.
Yeah, they're losing money.
So, and the Wii U isn't selling well, and I never really considered the fact that their video games are kind of like, you know, Apple's operating system. I never really thought about it that way, because you know that is like the heart of Nintendo right there, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean they are very Apple-like in the sense that their money is profit margins on their hardware. Mm-hmm. And that's how they've always worked. And now they're starting to realize that the profit margins just aren't there anymore because Apple came in with the App Store and now people play games on their iPhones and on their iPads. And, I mean, the portable handset market has pretty much disappeared. I mean, who do you see walking down the street with a, you know, PSP anymore? So...
I do see a lot of Nintendo
I mean, kids, kids have Nintendo DSs or whatever, but I see more kids on iPod Touches. And I mean, I'm sure Leander can attest to this. Like, his kids probably play games on the iPad and the iPod Touch, not the DS.
Right.
And,
that is the problem. I mean, you can't replace... I don't think that the iPad, I don't think the iPhone is going to replace games on consoles like... You know, whatever the new console is that Xbox announces, or the new Nintendo Wii U, or the PS4. No way. They're totally different experiences. I don't even think they're the same audience, honestly. Mm-hmm. But Nintendo's bread and butter for a while has been those portable handheld units.
Right.
And, I mean, that, I think, definitely could at least be somewhat replaced by your iPhone. I mean, somebody who maybe wants to play games casually might be more inclined just to play them on their phone because it's easy and they're a dollar. Do you think that Nintendo releasing any of their games on the App Store would affect them negatively in any way? I mean, I kind of think it might be positive in some way. You know, like
I don't see how it could affect them at all. I mean, think about how so like stoked everyone would be if Super Mario Bros. Was in the App Store. You know,
yeah, for sure.
Like
yeah,
I know I would be.
If they do like those old titles like that you know people aren't buying anymore,
Mario Kart on the iPad,
so that people will buy like the new Wii U and things like that, you know.
Yeah, Mario Kart on the iPad where you can use Game Center to race other people. I mean, who doesn't, you know, want something
like that's a great point. And I realize this is an Apple show, but since we're talking about Nintendo, can anyone tell me why you still cannot play online multiplayer on a freaking Nintendo system in 2013.
Yeah. I'm telling you, dude, they are way behind in terms of that.
It is like, baffling.
They have the characters and they have the creativity, but they do not have the technology wherewithal to be able to adapt. And
I mean, imagine if you could play Super Mario Brothers co-op. So I'm at my house, you're at yours, we're playing together. Yeah. Or to your example, Mario Kart. Mario Kart on an iPhone, and you could play against anyone else, and with like the motion controls, it's already a natural fit, right? I mean, Nintendo's into motion controls. They could release like Mario Kart on iOS and charge $5-$10 for it. I would pay $10 for a Mario Kart on iPhone.
I would pay, people would pay subscriptions, honestly, to like Nintendo stuff in the App Store.
That would be fantastic.
And it's just sad because like Square Enix is doing really good stuff with like Final Fantasy, and they're another Japanese game maker with a, you know, long history, and they're putting Final Fantasy titles out in the App Store, and then people are wanting to go look them up on the consoles. And that's how, and so they're using mobile as a strategy to get you into the living room. And that's what Nintendo should be doing.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. It's like release some stuff on the App Store and then pique people's interest. Give them a reason to want to buy the Nintendo Wii U, right?
Yeah, and I mean, if they don't do this in the next 5 years, I really don't see how they're going to keep surviving.
I don't know, man. I'm not really sure how they will either, because, I mean, the console wars, it always used to be about power, right? The new console comes out. It's like, oh, my gosh, how much more powerful is it? And now that kind of thing doesn't really matter as much,
because we got quad-core phones now.
Yeah. So
it doesn't matter.
I wonder how much more powerful our iPhone is than an original Nintendo. Probably exponentially.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Are you kidding me?
I think like the original Nintendo could only play like 32 tones in music.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was like polyphonic sounds were just, you know, like super crazy. You could only play one note at a time.
Right. Well, I mean, go way back, 8-bit, you know? I mean, it was just, it was bare bones.
I think that might be what I call this episode.
8-bit.
I was thinking bare bones.
Or bare bones.
Well, the iPad is as fast as a Cray supercomputer used to be.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
What year is that?
I'm not sure.
Was that your first computer?
No, Cray supercomputers. I mean, you know, these were the this is what the you know, the DOD uses to, you know, do nuclear missile testing, or used to. You know, these were the fastest supercomputers around. This is like from the 1990s.
North Korea uses a 2008 iMac.
I saw that. Kim Jong-un. I heard he's really into that. He's really into his iMac. It must make Tim Cook proud. Can you imagine, like, these products that you make, and you see, like, this guy in another country is threatening to nuke the whole world, is, like, using it.
Well, not even nuke the whole world, nuke America. Yeah, where your company's based.
Right, exactly. All right, hey, I think that's probably a good place to wrap up, yeah?
Yeah.
On that bright note, let's wrap up there. I want to thank DigiDNA for sponsoring the show yet again. Go check out Disc Age 6. Download a copy. Give it a try. Head over to DigiDNA.net to do so. And hey, join us on Twitter. You know how much fun we have on Twitter? Buster, tell them.
Dude, I have like an amazing amount of fun on Twitter.
There you go. That's all the convincing I need. Go follow Buster. Oh, it was. Buster's BST3R. Alex is Alex E. Heath. Leander is L. Caney. I'm at Airfront. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, follow Culto back on Twitter. And also, you can interact with us on our Facebook page. You might even win something from time to time, like we did on this show. Ooh. Head over to facebook.com/TheCultCast. This has been The Cult Cast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of The Cult Cast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. We'll see you guys next time. Good, that was good. Good timing. I'm gonna start calling you the timing master. All right.
How about buying another wig?
Eat your dinner fast, Leander. I'm about to introduce everyone.
Can you hear it?
No, but I can tell you're speaking with your mouth full.
The readers and the listeners love that.
Yeah, I'm sure they really do.
It has some personality to this. What's up about what I'm eating? It's actually really delicious.
Oh.
Yeah, can we devote at least 10 minutes to you talking about what you're eating for dinner?
Uh-huh.
We can create a new segment called What Leander's Eating for Dinner. And then we can have you wrap up talking about Sonos.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Gosh. That'll take at least 30 minutes.
I've been loving Sonos.
Yeah, okay, please. I didn't mean to get you going. Sorry. That was my fault.
What are you doing?
All right, let's start the show.